Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The wings are extra spicy this week.
It's getting hotter. It's increasing.
This is Danny and Dusty on Wildcard Week.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
My body's like, this is poison.
The Fan.
I think my leg just cramped.
Hour number 3 here on Tuesday on Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful, and as Dusty would call it, a warm Tuesday in January.
It is. It's a warm January Tuesday. I've seen that the weather people think that it's going to start getting cold in like 2 weeks.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Was it Rod Hill? Rod Hill, KGW there.
There you go.
He said, cold weather tracking. It's a pattern that could change around January 20th.
Da-dum.
Later stretches into February.
Da-dum.
Dude, we barely know if it's going to rain tomorrow.
Yeah, let's say January 20th. That's like 2 weeks, man.
Don't worry about that, dude. It's the cold airs. It's the jet streams and the flows and the pressure systems. Is it, the barometer
are we
beeping.
Are we heading towards El Niños yet?
I think, is it a La Niña?
Yeah. I don't know, but all perhaps. I know is that Spanish for La Niña.
There you go.
That's right.
I'm babe.
R.I.P.
You know, it is a wild card weekend here on the Fan.
Sure is,
and in the
Bob.
NFL. Let's talk about the teams that are not in the wild card because of how stupid and dysfunctional they are. Should we do that?
Damn.
Because this is one of the more, like, it's not shocking, but it is shocking. The Jaguars can't seem to get out of their own way. In a way that doesn't really make sense, because I get it. It's Florida, man. It's weird. But they have what should be a franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
They've drafted relatively well at the top of the draft.
Yeah.
Their dysfunction seems to lie in basically every pick after that and missing horribly. But for some reason, Shad Khan is both a good owner in the sense of like, being out front and addressing things, I think, head on in a way that some owners probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
But also, this and like, you know, pushing the game forward, like pushing it into Europe, basically being England's team. Like, I think the Jacksonville Jaguars have done some things. Like, they were a franchise that, you know, caught fire right out of the gate with the same as the Panthers.
Well, I mean, they also caught fire with the uniforms that he instituted right when he took ownership of the team, which were the worst helmets I've ever seen in my life.
Very true.
They had mullet helmets.
First year, we took it to the limit.
They had good-looking uniforms, then they gave them gold mullet helmets, and then mustard yellow color rush uniforms.
Yeah, those ones were bad.
Yeah, dang.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not saying he's a great owner. I just, something about him, I just go, I feel like you should be better at this. Your team should be better.
Yeah, and that's where all of the decisions come down to letting football people make football decisions. Mm-hmm. And he has made some some splashy hires, whether that is Urban Meyer or it is Doug Peterson, getting a guy who won a Super Bowl and come in to try and change your culture. Like, those are moves that you sit there and you're like, well, at least he's trying something different.
And you saw immediate, like, dividends from Urban to
And he's
Peterson.
Trying to invest in the organization in, like, there's a care there.
Yeah.
And so I agree with you that, yeah, there are a lot of the signals that be like, yeah, I get it. He should be better at this. But there's also signals that, like, dude, you run a dumpster fire, and one of them is firing Doug Peterson but keeping Trent Baalke.
Yeah. Who is now going to make his sixth coaching hire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Only one of the previous five has a winning record, and that was Jim Harbaugh, his first hire.
Which he ran out of town because he couldn't get along with Jim Harbaugh, which don't really blame Trent Baalke for that.
But also...
You find a way to get along with Jim Harbaugh when he is one of the best coaches ever to coach the game.
And his next hires were Jim Tomsula, Chip Kelly, Urban Meyer, and Doug Peterson.
Doug Peterson is the only one on there that's not.
And glorious, too.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson. by the way, also, I remember this from my updates yesterday. Yeah, right? Wake up. It's a happy day. I remember from my updates yesterday, Doug Peterson at 22-29 in Jacksonville, the third highest winning percentage in franchise history.
Yikes, dog. Okay, can I guess behind whom?
Sure.
Tom Coughlin.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy. Who is the guy they fired before Doug Peterson? Blake Bortles' coach. He was a Syracuse guy.
Well, no, that was Urban Meyer, wasn't it?
No, before Urban. What was that guy's name?
Oh, God.
He eats bologna sandwiches.
Oh, right, yeah. No, it's not him.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh, well, damn. God. Mike Munchak. No, he was in...
Danny might know who this is. He's a U.S. seaman.
Oh, God.
Jack Del Rio, gosh.
No. Yes, yeah. Jack Del Rio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say the coach before him wasn't Del Rio. But
I'm just saying, but Jack Del Rio is number two on the list.
Doug Marrone is the guy.
There we go, thank you.
Yeah, I would not have gotten that.
God, he took him to the playoffs.
God, Mike Mularkey.
Do you know what I Googled to find that out? It wasn't list of Jaguars head coaches. It was Jaguars coach bologna sandwich.
I mean,
and guess what? Doug Marrone popped right up.
But did you spell bologna correct at least?
Yeah.
Did you do the Americanized version or the Italian?
Bologna.
All right.
Bologna.
Well, good for you. Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
It happens.
Yeah.
As an Italian man.
The insane thing about this, is, Shad Khan was on a Zoom and says he would fire the GM if a new head coach could convince him. And we have that audio.
I'd actually like to go back to John's first question, Shad, back to you. I know you noted that if this head coaching candidate was to say, hey, I think the medical needs to be reevaluated, the health and wellness, if they were to say, I would like to reevaluate the front office and the general manager, what would your response be?
My response would be, how would you improve it? And then if it is credible, you want to do it. Okay,
that sounds like the right answer, but the problem is Trent Baalke, the guy who he's talking about, is on the Zoom with him.
Trent Baalke, it was a side-by-side of Shad Khan and Trent Baalke, and the questions asked, and Baalke looks very confident, and then Khan starts answering, and you see, like, Baalke starts looking out of the corner of his eye like, oh boy, this is awkward. And so the owner of the team is like, well, yeah, I mean, if the new head coach can convince me that it's a good idea to fire Trent, yeah, I'll go ahead and do it. Why not? Let's mix this thing up a little bit. And that right there might be exactly why the Jacksonville Jaguars are dysfunctional. And that right there is the answer to Shad Khan feels like he should be doing a better job. But then he answers a reporter's question probably with a little bit too much truth in that, yeah, a new head coach can convince me to fire the GM. But you know what? I appreciate that response more than what George McCaskey said when asked about, like, the GM and coach needing to be aligned during the interview. And he's like, no, that's not a key factor. That is 100% a key factor. And what Shad Khan is saying is that, look, if we hire a new head coach and he comes in and is like, dude, I have A, B, and C, X, Y, and Z as to why me and Trent Baalke aren't jiving and this isn't going to work, then Shad Khan is like, well, then, well, at least he's acknowledging that alignment is going to be important and maybe we should go in a different direction at GM.
Well, so do we think then that Trent Baalke is going to actually go and hire a guy like that?
No.
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 So.
No. No.
No.
First question. Will you go to the owner and try to get me fired at any point? No? All right, we can continue. Second question.
Should I be threatened by you by any way, shape, matter, or form?
Let's go ahead and schedule interview number two.
Because I already am threatened by you.
And that itself might be a problem. Like, just that little seed that Shad Khan just planted. It's like, oh, I have to go for our young coach now. Like, you can't go with any coach with any kind of power.
At this point, I wouldn't be surprised if Trent Baalke actually is fired. By the end of the sentence.
Well, and then he can go and take over the job at the New York Jets, where they also have horrifically low, well, I guess I can't say they have low expectations because they have high expectations.
Low standards.
Terrible.
Low standards, high expectations.
Low standards. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like going to the truck stop for literally anything other than gas.
Sushi.
Jerky.
Well, I won't go that far. There's some great.
That actually might be the place you get best jerky. Yeah.
I think that's the place you get the good stuff.
Go get myself like a 96-ounce fountain soda.
Ooh, that's what I'm talking about.
Right?
That's what I'm talking about. Not an egg salad sandwich.
No.
No.
Why not?
Buddy.
Nor any kind of lizard.
Buddy.
Why would I go there for lizard?
A lot lizard is what he's talking about.
It's just like the buckle bunnies at rodeos.
Yeah, except for way worse.
No, different.
Well, just go ahead, Google that term, and we'll get back to you on that one. You can get back to us with the full book report coming up in about 40 minutes.
I guess, again, those standards are a bit lower.
That's what I was saying. Mm-hmm. Low standards, high expectations. Yeah. Not going to go well for you. I do want to keep this conversation going.
Baalke's going to hire Ted Lasso now. That's a great text. He's going to hire a soccer coach that comes in to coach football.
Fire me now. Does that mean Hannah Waddington's coming here? Because I could be turned into a Jags fan real quick.
Yeah. You and Rust both.
Yeah,
just saying. I'll take it to the limit.
He's just got to go tell old Woody Johnson to have a memory of a goldfish.
Nope, Shad Khan.
Wrong team.
Damn it. Woody Johnson probably does have the memory of a goldfish.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Just keep swimming.
Lots of pharmaceuticals and such.
I do want to keep this dysfunction junction talk going because what is going on in Tennessee? Again, we talked about the Houston Texans and how they just kind of keep getting wild card weekend and shoved into the corner. The Tennessee Titans are lucky they exist in the Smoky Mountains. Otherwise, everybody would be pointing and laughing a lot more at the absolute dysfunction that is going on in Tennessee. We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, Tennessee the Fan.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Something that's really stood out in this Black Monday process through dysfunction as you get more firings, more dismissals, and more news notes and slander? Slander. That comes out after firing, because every time you fire somebody, you always have to dump the trail of awfulness behind them. Like, this is why we fired them. So not to be outdone in dysfunction, the Tennessee Titans, which I don't know if they're necessarily the gold standard, but they were, I feel like, a high standard organization for a very long time. Whether it was the Steve McNair, Eddie George era, moving into the Derrick Henry period, like they just felt like they were always had goodwill and equity, even if they did steal a team out of Houston.
Well, they did. They were very consistent.
Yes.
Right?
And consistently
for
good.
So many years, there was consistency and there were a couple downturns, but mostly
they bounced back.
Yeah. They always were right there in the thick of it. And look, if we're being completely honest, a lot of the years of their consistency was because their division's god awful.
Yes. It's trash.
God awful. But if you look at it, from 2016 to 2021, they were 9-7 for four of those years, and then 11-5 12-5. That's pretty damn good, right? They've had a couple stinkers years in there with like Mike Mularkey and Ken Wisenhunt as head coach.
God, that's Mularkey named twice in the past 5 minutes.
Yep, yep. But from like 99 through 2008, that they were like a beacon of consistency with like 1 year where I think Steve McNair got hurt, and like 2004-ish, he got hurt. They went down, and I think they were 4-12. Yeah, 4-12. Other than that, they've just like been meh to okay. Never Super Bowl contenders though.
Kind of Steelers-esque in recent
but
years.
Without any championships to hang their hat on. And you mentioned stealing a team out of Houston. It pisses me off to no end that they wear those Oilers uniforms against the Houston Texans.
They should not be allowed to do that.
No. They shouldn't be allowed to wear those uniforms at all.
You know.
In fact, they should be forced to give up all Houston Oilers records,
everything,
anything, colors, logos, all of it
with the Sonics.
Yeah,
it was an affront to Haywood Jeffries and Lorenzo White.
You have in Warren Moon
and Warren Moon
and Billy White
Earl
Shoes.
Campbell.
What? Yeah, Earl Campbell. Yes. It is.
I was just going back to my Tecmo Bowl days where I used the Oilers like crazy.
But in old Bud Adams, he's the owner, and he took them from Houston to Tennessee. And now his daughter, Amy Adams Strunk, is in control. And look, this is like the big issue with, you know, the NFL and ownership that gets handed down from one generation to the next. Mm-hmm. You see a massive drop off. Where we really haven't seen it is with the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, the Bears see it, right?
Yes. The reason I think you haven't seen it with the Steelers, despite it going down through the family, is that it's treated with a level of respect.
Yeah.
Throughout the family, where you've had infighting with the 49ers, you had infighting in the Giants, you've had infighting. Like, there's.
Well, the Kansas City Chiefs, like, they are the beacon of, like, dominance and stability right now. But they went through it too. I mean, you're seeing it with
still
the Raiders.
Yeah. Oh God, yes.
You know, every time that you see the team gets handed down until they get out of the way and let football people make football decisions, you know, it usually goes a little bit sideways.
And as it pertains to the Titans, this is not, you know, a new thing. Do you remember Diana Rossini getting laughed at for the Mike Vrabel comments about how Mike Vrabel was intimidating?
Yep.
In the room.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't look so funny now, does it? You aren't laughing at her anymore because there was a power struggle and there was an intimidation factor that led to him being dismissed. And there was a power struggle in that front office and coaching office between Vrabel and between the GM, who has now been fired.
Yep.
And the insane thing about this is that the GM that was brought in,
Carthon.
Carthon, thank you, was brought in specifically to work with their head coach, Mike Vrabel.
Yep.
And when it didn't work, they fired Vrabel.
Yep. And this is where it just seems like he was there for a year, they fired Vrabel, and then they promoted Carthon to a bigger role, not just GM, full roster control. They gave him an executive vice president label as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got a promotion that only lasted 1 year. The entire reason why they brought him in is to work with Vrabel. Then why fire Mike Vrabel, right? This is where their team, the CEO, Burke
Nihil.
Absolutely. An utter disaster as the team president, because you're looking at it going, you have a really good head coach who is winning football games for you. You are churning out consistently. Are you dominant? Nope. But you know what? You were doing it without a great quarterback.
Yeah.
Right? And you were in the mix, in the hunt for playoff spots, getting to the playoffs. And then you say, because he's too mean, it's football, you're going to fire him. And you're going to keep the guy that you brought in to work alongside of him. Then you're going to promote him and then say, now, nope, we're going to fire him too. This is why that alignment conversation that George McCaskey was asked about, do you need to have alignment between your GM and your head coach? Is that a key factor? Yes, it is. It absolutely is. But it also goes up to the general manager and the team president also have to be aligned too. And if you don't have that, you are screwed, because what you're seeing in Chicago as well is that Kevin Warren, former Big Ten commissioner, is now the president of the Chicago Bears. Apparently he and Ryan Poles are good, but they want to hire somebody who is not maybe the best football decision, but a guy who gets along with them, right? And is like a yes man for them. You can't have that. They have to be aligned, but you also have got to have an element of friction. Like that actually makes franchises.
That's how you check things.
Yep.
That's what keeps you from making the decision around Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley.
But you can't have hurt feelings.
No.
Like,
and that's what happened with the 49ers, with both Harbaugh, but it also happened in the earlier York era. And remember the front office churn that they had there when they just went through the dysfunction with Singletary as a head coach? I mean, it was just, you just went through issue after issue after issue.
Yes, men are an issue. Ability to not be able to handle constructive criticism, it's also a massive issue. And it's where it's not just a football thing or a sports thing. It's every business, right? Is every successful business, you got to have somebody who can tell you, you know what, this is wrong. You know, you have to have the one person that will tell you to F off. That's a really important factor.
Yeah, it matters.
You know, ass kissers may climb their way to the top, but your business will backslide if that's all you have climbing that ladder. And you don't want a bunch of people that are colossal a-holes, but you can't have it the other way where it's just a bunch of yes men.
You have to have that pushback. And that's, you know, that's the thing. It's interesting now that Vrabel was like this toxic coach that nobody wanted last year. And now he's number one or number two for four or five teams.
Yeah, because he's a really damn good coach.
What's changed?
Nothing. I think last year was he wanted just to get a lay of the land, and he kind of took his name out of a lot of jobs because he was also popped up late. And so I think he wanted that little bit of gap year so he could really kind of assess and see where the best spot is. Dude, he's gonna have his pick. Yep. And he should have his pick of at least three of them.
Or he knew Gerard Mayo wasn't going to last. And he's just like, oh, I'll go coach up there.
Poor guy.
It's tough.
Stuff out there.
It is what it is. It happens.
Here's the thing. In all of these situations, hire the best person for the job, right? Like, that's going to be what is going to make your team the most successful. It's like, everybody is looking like, I worry that, like, the Patriots are going to fall into, like, the Michigan trap of, we got to find a Michigan man, right? A Michigan man is going to lead us. And that's going to probably get even worse for Michigan since Jim Harbaugh's won a national title. USC with their athletic director has got to be a USC guy. How'd that go?
Yeah.
Not well. You know, I worry that, like, with the Patriots, they're going to be like, we got to find a Patriots guy. No.
Patriot way.
You know who went outside and they found the right guy? The Pittsburgh friggin' Steelers. They went and they got a young defensive coordinator from the Minnesota Vikings named Mike Tomlin, and he has been outstanding because he was the right person for that job, and he fit with what they were doing.
Was Bill Belichick the successful coach when he went and got hired by the Patriots?
No, he wasn't a yes man either, though. Like, he was outside of the box with Mike Tomlin.
So it's always interesting to kind of see how that goes. So in case you're wondering if your organization is the most dysfunctional, probably. Yep. Because and it's funny, as even Chiefs fan, you have the cheapest owner in the sport.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing that your players feel about your owner.
That is true.
Like, so there's levels of dysfunction across the board.
But guys still keep going there.
Oh, here's a,
because I know they're gonna win.
Here's a good one on the Vancouver Ford text line. Look at the Chargers. The Spanos family kept hiring those yes men. Now with Harbaugh, who is not a yes man, the Chargers culture has shifted and it's 5,000,000% better. Yep. The Spanos family has gotten out of the way as much as they possibly can. But yeah, they went out and they got a guy who, he's gonna ruffle some feathers, but you know what? He's gonna tell you what the right way to do it is.
All of a sudden you start looking better.
Yeah.
Weird.
And they're overachieving as opposed to underachieving.
Hey,
whoa.
Coming up next, could the Pac-12 overachieve and bring in a national champion? We'll get to that more. First is Big Kahuna Sports and Update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
North Dakota State. Champs yet again.
10th time in 14 years.
Is that good?
That's pretty good. It's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Is that a run of dominance matched by anyone else ever?
Bill Russell.
Not even. I mean, when you talk about 10 national titles in 14 years.
And didn't they make the Final Four in those other 4 years?
I know that their record since 2011 is 186-21.
Good God.
Didn't Bill Russell do like 11-13? He had, as both a player and player coach, what have you?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
I thought he had 10-15. I could be wrong.
I don't know. It was close. But, North Dakota State is ridiculous. Close yes. to Bill Russell.
Yeah. Either way, both ridiculous.
And really, if you look at it, the four titles that they did not win, two of them were won by South Dakota State.
Them Jackrabbits.
Dakotas, who knew? Huh? And they're the tough ones. They
you
play
go
outdoors.
Inside and you play football. That's all you do. Some long winters up there, man.
South Dakota State plays outdoors.
Are you S-ing me?
No. They play outdoors. Yeah. Pretty good.
That gets pretty cold.
Mm-hmm. So their 7-3 season was in the COVID year.
Bums.
But they lost in the FCS quarterfinal. So, yeah, since 2010. Uh-huh. Where they lost in the FCS quarterfinal. Championship, championship, championship. Mm-hmm. Championship, championship, mm-hmm. semifinal. Mm-hmm. Championship, championship, mm-hmm. championship. Quarterfinal, championship, championship, semifinal, championship. So, yes, the years they haven't won, they've been in the Final Four.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. They are an incredible story. And, like, when you hear the story of their head coach, who apparently... Craig Bowles, who's now, I think, at Wyoming. When Bowles was looking for an assistant, he called their current head coach, who was working as a logger. He was working as a logger and had to sell his golf clubs so he could afford to drive for the interview.
That's crazy, because number one, North Dakota.
We're not there off of Peel Road.
Tim Polasek is his name.
I'll tell you right now, there's not a lot of trees in North Dakota. It's a very barren state that's very flat.
Kind of flat.
You can stand on a beer can and see Montana.
Yeah. No.
It's like, if you had said oil field worker, I'd been like, yeah. Also, he wouldn't have been broke.
He was logging in Wisconsin.
Okay. There you go. That makes significantly more sense.
Yeah.
A lot of trees in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Not in North Dakota.
At the time, he was a part-time assistant at the home of Terry Porter, Wisconsin Stevens Point.
No kidding.
So he had to be a logger on the side.
Wow.
So that's like who their head coach is, right?
That's
the
crazy.
Incredible part about this run, too, is that they've done it with three different head coaches.
Yeah, because it's Chris Klieman, Matt Entz, and then Polasek.
And Bowles, so four coaches.
Well, and usually because
Craig Bowles.
Well, Bowles is the one who got started, yeah.
Yeah, he got the whole thing started.
And usually when you have a program like that, it's because you've got a guy that's been there since, 1953.
Yeah, and yeah. Bowles went to Wyoming, Klieman at Kansas State. Entz is now the head coach at Fresno State, I think he is.
He just took the head job. Yeah.
I mean, they're turning these into, big-time jobs. So... I thought the interesting part about all this was, so they win their 10th title yesterday, and everybody's like, oh, well, now I guess it's time to go to the Pac-12 or go to the Mountain West. Is it? I mean, this is the thing about financially, would it make sense, and you get a lot more money
mm-hmm.
by going to the FBS level? Sure. But you're never winning a national title again.
No.
I mean, Appalachian State, James Madison, mm-hmm. Coastal Carolina. They've turned into good FBS programs.
Like functional programs.
They're never going to win a national title.
Never.
I mean, Boise State, how long has it taken Boise State to get to the point where they are national title legitimate contenders, right? I mean, and everybody says, well, they should have been. Well, no, you lose to Nevada Reno on a field goal. Nope. Yeah. Don't deserve to go, right? Because you played in the Mountain West. To get a seat even at the big boy table, Boise State is still fighting for that,
mm-hmm.
right?
And they've the actual successes they've had have been numerous.
Yeah, but they won't win a national title until they get a seat at a big boy table. and working your way up to the big boy table is going to take a lot longer for North Dakota State. Mm-hmm. And look, Boise State's, sure, if they find a school to fill out the Pac-12 for football and you're up and running again, you're still not in the Power Four. That just, if the Pac-12 gets its schools, that doesn't mean that they're going to be back to, it's going to be back to the Power Five. That's not what it means at all. You're going to be a group of five school, right? Or group of six school. And the Power Four are going to operate, and that gap is only going to widen with the financial distribution that the Big Ten, SEC, ACC, and Big 12 are having mm-hmm. on everybody else in college sports. So if you are North Dakota State, I understand the conversation like, hey, yeah, they should jump right up. You'll never win a title again. You won't.
No.
And right now, you want to tell me that they don't have pride in what they have rolling?
Oh, buddy, I've been
in Fargo.
I've been down there. They live in that.
Yeah, my wife's got family out there, right off outside of Fargo, outside Fargo. Of Fargo, across the border from
East Fargo.
No, it's not even East Fargo. It's a Plains. It's a something Plains or a whatever.
Look, I'm not big on my North Dakota geography, so I'm going to lean on you to not know this right now.
That's going to kill me.
Whether it is North Dakota State, South Dakota State, Montana State, the pride that those areas have, the region has, for those schools in the success at the FCS level, dude, why would you make the jump to the FBS?
Grand Forks,
there you go.
Oh, that's like 45 minutes north. That's where I lived.
It's like there's only two other cities that I know.
Yeah, it's
North Dakota.
Yeah, it's Minot and Bismarck.
That's why I was so mad I couldn't think of it.
Yeah. So why would you make the jump? Is it just so you
say you're there?
Have some more money to not win a national title?
Isn't that the whole thing, though, these days, is to get the more money?
I don't think it is for those types of schools in particular, right? When it is part of your identity is winning national titles, like, it's so damn important to them. It is. And like, hey, in the state of North Dakota, we can hang our hat on this. South Dakota, they can do that. The state of Montana, the pride that they have in Montana and Montana State football for being dominant FCS programs, dude, it means just as much to them that they win FCS national titles as it does to the FBS programs and their fan bases when they win one, because they make it the big time there.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to those games and it is packed, it's raucous, and it is a place that the other FCS teams fear to go. You move up to the FBS level, all that's gone.
Yeah.
Because there's more intimidating places to play than, you know, Washington Grizzly Stadium in Missoula or, you know, the Fargo Dome in North Dakota. There's far more intimidating places with far more fans and far more resources than what they have. So I understand the idea. And because they're really good, it's like, yeah, they should go to the Pac-12. I think that it's more likely you do see the Sac States end up going up.
I mean, they are.
A Weber State coming up. Like, those are the ones where they don't have that rich tradition. It doesn't mean as much to them because they've never tasted what it's like to be a champion at that level.
I know we're up against it right now. We got to make this really quick. But do you think that FCS championship and all those championships that North Dakota State has won, is that college football bigger to them, or is it like the Frozen Four? And college hockey,
it's not as big at North Dakota State as it is North Dakota. North Dakota is, if not the best hockey program in the country, it's there with Minnesota.
Yeah.
So I tell you right now, hockey means more in North Dakota. But I tell you, football means a metric crap ton.
And you know where North Dakota State. You know where they make a lot of their money too, is getting a paycheck to go kick the butts out of a Power Four school,
mm-hmm.
and that means a lot to them too.
And the money's probably not that different.
By the way, North Dakota State, coming to Autzen Stadium.
There you go. Be a fun one.
I think that's next year. Is that next year?
I think you're right.
Yeah, I think they opened the season.
There you go. It's a fun place to be. All right, coming up next, we'll wrap up today's show with Sam Levitt, not only a hero to Arizona State, hero to his own teammates. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
It's time for a Blazers report on the Fan. The inside story on the Portland Trailblazers, brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria.
Portland Trailblazers fall in the Motor City 118-115 after a little push to close the game with basically a game within 5 points with 5 minutes to go. That's all you're asking from your Portland Trailblazers. Anthony Simons with 36 points, 9 assists. Shaedon Sharpe, 20 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds. Probably the most productive game you've seen from that backcourt pairing. They're now going to finish out their road game, or their road trip, with a back-to-back at New Orleans and Dallas. New Orleans might be the worst team in the league. The Dallas Mavericks likely to be without both Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving in their game. The New Orleans Pelicans and Trailblazers is likely also going to feature the only time this season the Portland Trailblazers will be picked to win on the road. This Trailblazers report on the fan is brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria, the best place to go before and after games or any event. Check them out on the corner of Southeast 15 and Broadway or at AztecWillies.com.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan.
Arizona State quarterback Sam Levitt is winning on the field and off the field.
I love this.
He's orchestrated an NIL deal between Arby's and 8 of his offensive linemen.
They have the meats.
Which, and guess what? They have the meat sweats on.
Yeah, like, okay, hold on. No, you need to clarify that.
I did it purposefully.
So yeah, a little bit of a double entendre there.
They have the exclusive meat, Arby's meats sweatsuit.
Roast beef sweatsuit.
You cannot buy them.
No.
I have attempted to.
Yeah, they got them.
They are exclusive, and the entire offensive line
has a lot of fabric. There's a lot of fabric.
Oh, my God. There's so many meat sweats happening there.
What a great, like, and by the Sam Levitt, apparently, former Westland line, went out and brokered this deal for his offensive line to get NIL Arby's. I love that.
It's wonderful.
I love that.
This is the coldest getting the AC deal in Nebraska.
Yeah. It's just somebody who gets it.
There's a lot of beef up front. Roast beef from Arby's. Like, it's good. It's perfect.
Like, some Nebraska, like, steak company.
They're going to have horsey sauce in the training table. And oh,
the horsey sauce is goated.
They're going to have it.
I can't remember. When was the last time you had Arby's?
Not as long as you might think.
It's been a very long time for me because there's none near me.
The cherry turnovers are elite. There's one near my house.
Is there?
I need to go there more often.
Grab a roast beef and cheddar.
I don't mess around with the cheddar.
Just straight roast beef?
Straight roast beef. Throw some Arby's sauce and horsey sauce on there.
I'll get roast beef and cheddar. I'll mess with that. Their chicken sandwich is really good with bacon.
Their market fresh sandwiches, they first brought them out like 20 years ago, was like the best sandwich you could get.
This is why NIL is good. Right here. This is exactly
what should be happening.
Yep. I love it. I love it so much.
Like, if you're an old fuddy-duddy and you're getting mad about this, go choke on some horsey sauce.
Wow. I want to clear one thing up before we get going here.
Ooh, why are you looking right in my eyes when you say that?
I erroneously mentioned that North Dakota State was coming next year. It's Montana State who lost to North Dakota State in the FCS championship. North Dakota State's visit to Autzen has been bumped to 2028.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that a part of the Big Ten stuff? Was that what that was?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so. Mm. But Montana State opens the season this next year, and then 2028, North Dakota State, the Bison, come stampeding into Autzen Stadium.
Clearly those Bobcats are no slouch either.
No. No, they're not. Mm. No, they're not. They had the National Player of the Year.
Maybe they'll bring a Bison into the stadium.
Oh, my gosh. How did we not talk about this until now? Montana State receiver.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Taco Dowler.
Wow.
What?
Yep. His name is Taco Dowler. All right.
Oh, my God.
He is 5'9", 175-pound sophomore.
Apparently needs more tacos.
He is Lily White. Actually, he's a ginger, and his name is Taco Dowler.
Is it T-A-C-K-O?
Nope. Taco like a taco. T-A-C-O.
Is he a taco because he's white?
I thought you said T-A-K-O. Yes, he is.
What I'm saying, because he's white down low like a tortilla with a red on top with the tomatoes?
Maybe.
So basically, he's the Kroger brand of taco seasoning. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like, the personal section of his bio, it doesn't say, like, his real name is, like, Theodore and he goes by Taco. No, it's just...
I hope it's his real name.
Where's he from?
Billings, Montana.
Mom lost a bet to dad, and dad got to name him. And I'm going to name him after my favorite food, tacos.
Name him Taco. It's like, what are we doing here?
Taco Libre. Second one.
Nacho.
Yeah. So that was a bit of an upset.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, I'm finding out now. I've done some further research. Mm. His first name is McLean. McLean Dowler.
I'd go by Taco, too.
Taco Dowler. What a great name.
Love to see it.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for us. Up next, 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac Souk right here on The Fan.
Bye.
There were little balls on it.
There's so much meat.
You're trying to tell me I can't make it through TSA with my wieners?